Welcome to this edition of the Empowered Hour with Empowered Living Inc. It's your girl Athena and
Renata. How are you?
Girl, I'm fine. Listen, this week, this day, this month has just went crazy. So I'm glad that we are hitting September and I have a chance to get myself together. So happy Labor Day, since this will air on Labor Day. So happy Labor Day to everyone. Hopefully you're having fun with your family, your friends. You're enjoying each other's company and remembering those who labored to get us here. But how are you doing, girl?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. We had a lot of technical difficulties, but outside of that, I'm doing well.
You know, it wouldn't be us if we didn't have technical difficulties, but you know what? When guys get it, we're able to talk, we're able to see, we're able to breathe, so...
Yeah.
Even though sometimes I'd be questioning myself. But anyway, I guess before we get too deep into the show and we bring on our incredible guest, we have to take a pause for the call for Lady J to tell people how they can listen to us live every week. And if you want to be on our show or if you want to be on anyone else's platform on JQLM Radio, please listen to how you can be a part of the crew. So take it away, Lady Jane.
If you'd like to share with your family, friends, and followers on all the different ways that they can tune in to JQLM Radio, this is what you would share. You can tune in live by downloading the JQLM Radio app on your Apple or Android devices. You can also listen live via Alexa, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, and a host of other platforms, of which you can find on our website, where you can also listen live at egoentertainmentnet.com/JQLM-radio. Or just visit egoentertainmentnet.com and click the button right there on the homepage. You can also connect with us via our website or social media at JQLM Radio. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Additionally, you can email us at jqlmradio@gmail.com. Find us under our parent company, Ego Entertainment Network, on social media at EGOENTNET. That's Ego Ent Net. You can also follow us on LinkedIn at Ego Entertainment Network. And last but not least, make sure you like, subscribe, and share our YouTube channel, Ego TV Network.
Whew, child. Every time we have to hear all that, I always get dumbfounded because, baby, we everywhere. So yes. I don't know if Mr. Taylor knew that, but we in other countries and across the country. This internet radio show reaches a lot of people, so his business will get to be heard by other people. So, Mr. Taylor, be careful what you say. I'm just joking. As you can see, I'm kind of the ghost of it too. So, I don't know. We're not. Could you do the introduction since I can't stop playing today?
It's okay. So, today we have an amazing guest that's going to help us get our money and stuff together. So, we have Mr. Lawrence Taylor. How are you?
I am well, ladies. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good, doing good.
Good, good. I keep trying to make him work for Earth Jones, and it's definitely that's two totally different things. So that's why I have Renata do the introduction, because I do not want to mess that up again, because I keep saying Earth Jones. That's not what it's meant. Not at all, but I'm sorry, Mr. Taylor.
You're all right. You're all right.
So to kind of tell our listeners kind of who you are and what you do.
All right. I'm a financial advisor with Edward Jones, and I'm located in Southern Indiana in a little small town called Evansville. Small to some, big to others, depending on where you're from. But been in the financial services industry my entire adult career. Been a financial advisor for the last 15 years. And really what I do is I specialize in giving you your time and your life back. Finances our struggle, as we all know, right? My wife and I joke all the time, it costs $100 just to leave the house. Mm-hmm. So if I can help put your financial goals and future in a manner that you understand and a financial plan that you can run on, that's going to give you the ability to make sure that you can take care of the things that really matter, your mental health, physical health, family, spiritual health, all those things.
Awesome. How did you get in the industry?
Funny story. So I played a little bit of college football, and my last stop before coming and finishing my degree in finance at University of Southern Indiana, I was playing down at West Kentucky, and I got hurt. So I came home to finish my degree, and I was walking out of my admission counselor's office, and I knew I wanted to do business, but I didn't know, you know, if I wanted to do marketing. I didn't want to do accounting because I didn't want to, you know, not talk to people. I didn't want to just do a business administration. So I literally put my hand in my pocket because I was hungry, and I pulled out lint. So I thought, I got to learn how to manage some money so I can give me some food. So that kind of started the foray into the financial services industry. I've always been interested in stocks and bonds and how you can make your money work for you. But that kind of was the little bit nudge to get me in the right direction.
Oh, I feel like we always have funny stories of how we end up or where we land.
Right.
Especially when it's not even like, was finances always the original plan, or that just kind of came about?
No, I being from Evansville and having the ability to get outside of my area, most of my family's from the south side of Chicago, all the way down to Alabama, and just having parents that just kind of, you know, opened my eyes to many different things. I wanted to be an international business. I thought I was going to be, you know, this businessman in a nice slick suit, you know, just jet setting across the countries and you know, learning about different cultures and those types of things. But it just didn't come fruition for me.
Okay. That's okay. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to go down to Evansville, okay? Because I hear so many people talk about Evansville, and I know my grandfather has a child somewhere down in Evansville. She still lives there. So I should make my way down there. I'll be tagging you in so I can get some tour guiding around here. I know it's not a lot, but I need to make my way down there. My Rolling Stone grandfather, I was told he has family down there, and well, that's if they're still there. Let me say that.
Let me know, Athena. I owe you lunch then when you come through.
Hey, look. Oh, shoot. Now, you said $100 step outside. Just let me know ahead of time so I'm going to prepare myself. I would never have you spend that money. But, you know, if you have a 5-5-5 Michelin star down there, then I might take that. But anyway, I'll be nice to you. I promise.
Let's get a message in Evansville. I'm trying to think, what was the last time I went? It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I've never gone. And I think, well, I'll take that back. If I could go, I was really young and I don't remember it. And my grandfather's dog says 2001. So I know I haven't been down there at all since I've been of age. So I'm going to come down and Google some people, see if they're still there. I mean, the last one was kind of, you know, neat. So is anybody down there with them? I might talk to offline and say, you know any of these people? And see if you can point me in the direction. Okay, come get off my family.
I'll help you find some long lost family though.
One of them first name Betty. So, no, Betty with a last name T. I'll give you an episode so we can see you know who Betty is. But anyway,
okay.
So, I got off my side. So, somebody like myself, I feel like I'm halfway business savvy or financially savvy because I don't spend as much as I could, but I don't invest the way. So, can you talk through how you get somebody who is my stubborn self, who I know I need to do better with my portfolio? Because I got money from 401k to the previous job. I mean, not enough to retire by any means. But I do need to make sure those couple dollars is working for me. So for somebody like myself who's been putting it off for years, because I have this one job for over 15 years, maybe 16 years. So I get my little statement every once a year, and it tells me how much money I've left in that old 401k. And I have done nothing. It loses money, it gains money. I have no idea where this is. I have no idea what to do to get my statement. So talk to me about how you get somebody like yourself on board with being more financially savvy and sound?
First thing I want to get you to do is understand the game, right? You know, I'm a big believer, being a former athlete, that life is a big game and you got to learn how to play it, right? And some things are going to be played. You got to play it to your strong suit. Some of the things that you don't understand, you got to rely on other people to help you get through it. So where I try to position myself at is getting you to understand as simply as possible the parameters of the game. So if you walked into my office right now, I'm going to talk to you like you're my little 10-year-old, you know, not necessarily in a derogatory manner, but I want to explain things to you as so simple that you're like, oh, now I get it, right? I never really understood what that term stock meant or that term bond meant or the 401k or a mutual fund or those types of things. So first, I want to arm you with a level of information, make sure that you feel comfortable. Because one thing that we know the school system doesn't do, they don't teach you, you know, about real parameters of financial planning in life, how to balance a checkbook, you know, how to, you know, make sure that you're not living above your means, you know, saving things, have an emergency fund. So starting at that level to get you comfortable. And then I want to chop off the legs of the news cycle and social media, because as we all know, back in the day, right? My kids always say, oh, Dad, you're getting a back in the day speech. You know, back in the day, we didn't have access to all this information. You know, our news cycle hit you every single minute with what's going on over in Kandahar or over in Southeast Asia or down in Alabama or Colorado or Wisconsin. And we know all these bits of information. And then also we have to realize that our news and media channel, they're for-profit companies. So they're trying to sell you something as you're watching it, right? Whether it be trying to sell you fear, whether it be trying to sell you products in the commercials, whatever it is, they have an agenda behind them. So you have to take the temperature down of what you're hearing across, you know, all these different platforms about recessions and all these different things. Because, you know, take that word recession, for example, that's just a part of the economic cycle, right? You got to have a recession to have an expansion. But when we hear the word recession, most of us get shaken in our boots. We got to see the trees through the forest and say, okay, if there's going to be some type of downturn, then I have an opportunity to invest in the downturn, because as long as things stay cyclical, in which they will until it's all final, right? I do believe in finalities, but it's going to stay cyclical at this point in time. We know that the expansion is coming back. So getting you acquainted with just how it operates, when you need to invest, when you need to get out. One of the biggest principles I see is that a lot of people want to invest when the stock market is going great, right? And I tell people, it's like, okay, you want to go shopping when all the new clothes come out. So you want to buy the Jordans at the highest price, right? Right when they come out, because you see them, you like them. Everybody's talking about, oh, these Jordans look nice. It's kind of the same thing with the stock market. When the stocks start to go up and you hear on the news, hey, the economy's doing well, there's growth in the stock market, the Dow, the S&P 100, 500, it hit its all-time high. Everybody's ears perks up and like, oh, I need to do something right now, right? And then you buy at the high, right? Which technically you're supposed to buy at the low. So when everybody's afraid, saying, oh, the market is going to crash, there's a big sell-off in the market, you know, all these different types of things, that's when you should be licking your lips and say, okay, now I'm going to buy. Because now it's like going over to TJ Maxx, over to Burlington Coat Factory and buying on sale, right? JCPenney, wherever you shop at, buying on sale. And when you buy on sale, you know you're going to get a better deal because you're getting quality, you know, with certain companies that you pick if you're doing your diligence. So just things around that nature of saying, okay, how can I properly start out so I can build confidence and then get into complex topics of, okay, now that I know how this thing works, how can I prepare for my retirement goal? How can I prepare, you know, for the first house, the second house, the vacation house? How can I prepare as a family unit, you know, for us to start getting in a rental property to build generational wealth? How can I mitigate taxes? How can I make sure that I have something for my loved ones that I'm going to leave behind? All those types of things come, but you got to start with the basics and understand that, hey, just because they're preaching doom and gloom on our screens doesn't necessarily mean that doom and gloom is there. It could be a moment in time for opportunity.
I love the analogy.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who look latest and greatest, like, I so bad want another phone. So I refuse to go do more right now because when I won't, they were $2,000. And I'm like, there's no reason to make $6,000 for that phone. When that phone probably costs you a little bit under $50 to make. I'm not giving you $50,000. But it the hype is always there. But you, back in the day, to your point, when we used to buy a phone for a couple hundred dollars and be done with it. Now they want you to slow pay it so they can get interest off of you and basically put you in debt for a cell phone. Whereas we used to be able just to buy it. $200. I remember it was like $100 for one time the amount they said for a brand new phone. I'm like, ooh, I'm not paying $600 for a phone. But I would take that now. I would buy a phone straight out for $600 versus paying $2,000 plus over the next 2 years. So, see your point? Okay. So you convinced me a little bit to get this under control.
My phone is 5 years old, Athena. I so I'm not cheap.
We're about the same then, because mine is I don't even know what my phone is anymore. I think it's an S22. They're S25, 26 now. So I know I'm behind in the time, according to the phone. So,
And not to cut you off, but what I always try to tell people, too, is you know, don't look at the past and feel bad about your spending habit, right? Because I've been working since I've been 15 years old, and you know, I hit 40 this past May, and I could have had millions of dollars if I never would have spent, you know, all the money that I made from the ages of 15 to 25, right? So, you know, I always tell people, as long as you're breathing, you know, no matter what age you are, as long as there's still time left on the clock, you know, my Athletica, you know, metaphors again, then you still got an opportunity, right? You know, we look at people like Sam Jackson, right? He used to be a community actor, didn't get his first big gig until Goodfellas, and when he was in his late 40s. You know, I can go on and on down the list, right? All these names that we love to say, Tesla, you know, Microsoft, all these different people, a lot of times they didn't really get their push in life until that second act. You know, so there's always time left on the clock to make sure that you can create the life that you want to have.
So to that point, why do you think people feel so bad about like, oh, I should have did this with my money, or I should have, you know, I'm in my 40s and I should have had a bigger IRA or a 401k and all that. Like, why do you think our relationships with money are so jacked up sometimes?
Because we're made to feel bad. And not to be, you know, a financial psychologist, but I do enjoy the study of the mind and money more than probably anything else. And, you know, through these screens, we're always told what we're doing wrong, right? And we think it's the opposite, right? You get on Facebook and you see what people are doing. You're like, how come I can't do that? How come I'm not here? I'm not there. Or you see people, you know, spending, you're like, hey, I want a new car. You know, how come I'm not being blessed at this point in time, right? And then you start to think of yourself the reasons why. Then you go into that skeleton of the closet and saying, okay, because I did this and I did, and you start to get down on yourself. And then, you know, I also say, you know, those same screens, they're always making us want to buy, right? Just imagine as soon as we get off this phone call, you're going to look at something, whether it be an email, and you're going to go through an app and it's going to have an advertisement on there, right? If you ride in your car down the street, billboards, and now they're digital billboards flashing, right? TV, right? You got to pay the sponsor of this show, all those different types of things. So we're being triggered to buy nonstop, right? So when you don't have the capacity to do that, you think something's wrong with yourself, right? Then you start to look at why is something, what did I do in the past to not to be able to buy all these things that I'm being triggered to buy for right now, right? You know, even me, I used to think I had to have this or I had to have that. Then I'm thinking, who even told me I got to have this? You know, who even told me I needed these things, right? And you really start to look at it and you say, okay, what really means something to me? And that's what you got to figure out. And that's something that you have to do with inside of your financial goals is say, okay, it's not necessarily about the amount of money that I accumulate, because we know that people are still digging up buried treasure right now for people who try to take money to the other side. But it's about what I can do with those funds. So what goals am I trying to get? Financial freedom, because I don't want to go in the workplace anymore. Am I trying to, you know, make sure that I can retire so I don't have to continue working my life away? You know, once you start to qualify the actual goals of what you want to do with the money, you want to be philanthropic, you want to create community centers, you want to be a venture capitalist and get businesses off the ground, you want to empower women and send young girls to school, whatever that can be. Once you figure out what the actual goal is for the money, then it alleviates all of those negative feelings around the money of what you could have did, how much you have, and all the things that come with it.
You make it sound so simple.
And while we mull over this for about a few moments, we got to take a quick commercial break. But yeah, you want to, I don't know. But we'll be right back, because he makes it seem way too easy. So we'll be right back with more of the Empowered Hour with our special guest, Mr. Taylor, who is from Edward Jones, not her show. So we'll be right back. All right, so we're back, y'all. I hope y'all got your pen and paper for this game that he's spitting today, because we should all have a little bit more financial savviness by the time we end this show today. And if not, we will have Mr. Taylor tell you how to reach him, because even though he's in Evansville, he can help you here in Indianapolis and across the state of Indiana, and also probably can help you nationally. Or let me not speak on that. Can you help people across state lines? Let me ask that question.
I sure can. I make a big cross across, or a big X across the United States. I have clients down in Miami to Alaska. I have clients in New York to Southern California. So whatever state that you're in, I definitely can assist you.
Can you help our international listeners?
I cannot. I cannot. Unfortunately, I don't have the required license to be an international financial advisor, but whoever's hungry for information, I'll be more than happy to help you.
Okay. All right. So what you're saying is there's no excuse.
There's no excuse.
That's what I'm hearing. Because I hear, like, because you know me, I'll give an excuse as to why I can't. So it's kind of late. So. You're going to learn that about me, Mr. Taylor. So,
Okay. So kind of going back to my question and kind of what Athena said earlier. So you're saying ultimately we really need to take the time to figure out what our financial goals are and recognize that we've been put in the situation to feel bad about money. And so once we kind of tackle those things, then where do we go from there?
As you qualify those goals, you want to see what resources you have in order to accomplish those goals, right? And, you know, what cash do you have? Do you have the ability to put money, more money in your 401k? Do you have the ability to set up a separate, you know, IRA or a Roth IRA? Do you want to set up a separate investment account and just do some normal investing? But you got to see, you know, what your monthly surplus is. So once you figure out and qualify those goals, you got to quantify them. So the next best thing is the B word, which is the budget. And a lot of us don't like doing a budget, including myself, right? So establishing the budget to know where your money is going. You know, I tell people all the time after playing football, I've been on my Oprah Winfrey, you know, lifestyle. I've been up in weight and I've been down in weight. I've been trying to mitigate, you know, my weight, you know, for the last 25 years. And sometimes I'm doing really well when I'm looking at the scale, not every single day, but I'm looking at the scale. I'm looking at the time that I'm eating. I'm looking at my ingredients. I'm trying to stay from, you know, away from fried food and saturated fats and those types of things. And sometimes I'm horrible, right? You know, I'm notorious, you know, for liking candy, right? So it might be some nerds or something by my bed late at night that I'm chomping on or something like that, right? So it's just making sure that you know where your money is going, what you're spending on. And what you'll probably find out, there are some things that you can cut to help you get to where you want to get.
Okay. You make, again, but you said earlier that you break it down to even a 10-year-old can understand. So...
And every little bit counts. I don't think people understand that. You know, I have some people come to me and say, oh, I only got a couple $100. And I'm like, great, let's get started. Right. You know, a lot of people think in order to work with somebody like me, you need hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. Now, of course, we would like that. But coming from the community that we come from and knowing the access to information, if you're hungry for it and you got $25 that you could spare a month, let's go get it with the $25. Because like anything, once you have discipline, right, just like doing push-ups, if you can do one push-up and then you start on month two doing two push-ups, hopefully in 12 months you can do 25 push-ups, right? And you just build on from there and keep building and compounding from there. And then also never let your current circumstances define your future as well. There's always an opportunity, you know, for growth of income. It may not be at your current employer, and I don't care if you're working at McDonald's, right? Now with the internet, you know, I do a little bit of coaching, and I tell these young kids, hey, if I had YouTube coming up, I may be playing on Sundays, right? Maybe a pipe dream. I may have been playing football on Sundays. Who knows? But, you know, if I had YouTube coming up and I knew about nutrition and I knew about lifting and speed drills and all those things, you guys, you spend too much time on TikTok, right? Focus on the things that are going to make you better and going to make you some money. And I tell my kids all the time, I say, hey, my oldest is 12. You got 6 years to figure out how you don't get a job. You got 6 years to figure out how you don't have to go work, right? You got 6 years to figure out if you don't want to go to college, right? The whole point of this thing is to make sure that we can make money to take care of the things that are the most important to us. And I can imagine in a perfect world, if we were financially secure, what we can do for our mental health, right? Especially as men, Black men, young men, what can we do for our mental health? As women, Black women, what can we do for our mental health, our spiritual health, our community health, all those things? If we can take care of the issue of worrying about money, what can we build? What just individual quality of life can you have if you aren't worried about how bills are going to get paid? I don't know who does your electric up in Indianapolis, but down here we have CenterPoint, and they raised our bills like crazy over the last 2 months, right? It's been hot, all those different types of things, and people are worried, right? And I'm worried because I'm like, hey, my bill is doubled, right? So as you get, you know, more financially savvy, it opens your life. Finances and money do not provide you happiness. I'm a firm believer in that.
Absolutely.
But what it does do is it gives you the ability to focus on how you can make yourself happier, how you can make your community more vibrant.
I love that. I love that. So you're saying we could just have $25 a month and we can make some shake, and that doesn't have to be us.
Yeah. Make some shake that ain't got to be you.
That's what I like to hear.
That's the list.
You're saying I can shake and not jiggle, because, you know, I'd be making it. If you don't make it shake with $25 in here, don't you get it? I might be able to get $35.
But that's good to know. Sorry, Anthony. That's good to know, because it does feel like sometimes you need more than $25 just to even get started. So that's good to hear that it doesn't have to be a couple hundred, a couple thousand to get started.
Nope. Right. Nope. If I told you in 10 years, you can have $30,000, you know, set aside, you know, for just doing a couple, you know, $20-$25 a month, are you going to tell me no? Right. You know, $120 a year to get $30,000 in 10 years, that's not a bad investment, you know? And I think sometimes we just tend to forget, and we think so much about the right now, but, you know, maybe it won't equate to getting to be $1 million, but if you got a couple, you know, 30, 40, 100, you know, $250,000 from doing some work, right? You still got some money.
This is true.
So, okay. Let me figure this out. Because I'm trying to think, because because I waste about $50 to $100 a month. So right now, is a good time or is not a good time to start this investment? Because I literally waste a lot of money during the month. I know I do. And I need to stop wasting it. So if I can get it to make money for me, especially while I'm sleeping, like, are you saying, you know, with the present state of how things are, is a good time to start? Or are you just saying in general, start whenever? And I know you said people sometimes wait for the economy to kind of change, but the stock market is kind of tanked to get into it, but it's now, I'm trying to ask you, is now the time? Because I don't pay attention to none of this stuff. And I need to give you some money now, so I don't want to lose it. I'm just trying to figure out.
It's a great time. It's a great time, Athena. You just have to figure out what your time horizon is for your investment. So what that means is you got to figure out when you're going to need the money back. So if you're go ahead.
I was going to say, at this point, since I waste that much money a month, I don't need it right now. So clearly, I will literally probably start off with $40, $50 to see, you know, because so let's say I gave it to you now, because now you got my interest perk. If I give it to you now, are you saying 5-10 years, you have to go without touching it? So what would be the minimum time? Because, yeah, I'm trying to get this figured out.
So the minimum time is going to depend on how when you need the money. So if you don't need it now, then I'm saying, okay, let's not touch this money for at the minimum 5 years. Right. But even before we would start investing, and I apologize if I missed this point, we got to have an emergency fund set up. Right. So you got to have a certain amount inside of your bank account that you feel comfortable. Right. I call it a sleep at night number. What number that you can look and say, okay, that's in my savings. That's going to make me sleep at night. Because as you become more acquainted with investing, you're going to have to realize that this thing is cyclical. So, you know, back in 2008, when the market, you know, went down so far, went down almost 50%, you know, some portfolios, right? So if you got, you know, let's just say $50,000, and then all of a sudden overnight it's $25,000, you're going to be looking at me and be like, boy, what was you talking about when it came to investing, right? But in that same scenario, if you got $20,000 in the bank, then I can call you up and I can say, hey, Athena, I know it's looking crazy right now, but remember, until the finality of our economic market, in which if that happens, no money's going to matter anyway, it's cyclical. So you got that money sitting in cash in the bank. You got some money if there's an emergency. Let's let this money come back. Because in that scenario of 2008, the next year, the market came back, you know, it came back. And if you stayed in that market within the next 2 years, you know, not only were you made whole, but you gained another almost, you know, 25% of some portfolios. You look back at COVID when that hit, right? In March, the market, you know, dropped the quickest and the farthest it has ever dropped in a 1 month history of time. And because of some economic policies and things like that, by the end of the year, the market had a growth year, right? So we went from, you know, being almost to the 2008 to actually being positive at the end of the year. So I say that to have that emergency fund is because we're going to see the market do this like an EKG machine, right? And I can show you guys charts and bore you with all that information from 1929, how, you know, the stock market looks like the side of a mountain, right? And if you can visualize the side of the mountain in your head, you see, you know, it going up on that upward slope of the triangle. Mm-hmm. But as you're going up, you have the little crevices and divots inside of the mountain going down, right? And that's exactly what the stock market is. And for a lot of people who sit here and say, well, you know, the political climate, the social climate, whatever you want to insert in there, the world's crazy. It is, right? We can't get around that. But I am telling you right now, we're going to look back at these years of 2020 to 2030 and say, man, I wish I put more money in investments, whether that be the stock market, whether that be real estate, you know, or you're going to be glad that you decided to put money, because it's a great time and there's a lot of opportunity out there right now, a ton of opportunity to make some really good gains in the market over the course of the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
You got her. I'm sorry, Renata.
No, I just said he got your wheels turning.
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, you know me. I've always talked about saving money, and you know, my goal was to always be over 800 credit score and all that stuff. And I reached that point. I want to maintain it, and I also want to have money saved up because I don't trust this economy at all. I don't trust that they're not going to try to do things that affect the minority demographic more. And especially my daytime job, I work for someone that takes Medicare, and the things that I need to Medicare and VA benefits and things like that. So it's like, for me, I want to have at least 6 months of my lifestyle saved in my bank account, so I know that. And by the time I get that 6 months saved up, I want to also have some other money working for me, because we know the economy is going to tank at one point just because of how things are going. And I want to make sure that we'll have enough money saved up for now. And then I also want to make sure I have enough money saved up later, because yes, I have 401ks at work. Yes, I have all stuff. But if they are messing with those things, how does that affect my 401k? How does that affect everything else? So trust me, I literally, out of my paycheck, every 2 weeks, we have an emergency savings here at work at $40, and they give me $20. So I save $60, $120 every month automatically before I even get my paycheck in my hand. So I'm doing that. But I also know in my regular life, I have $100 probably or less that I do something silly with, or I buy unnecessary clothes with, I buy you know, unnecessary stuff with every 2 weeks. So instead of, I don't know, saying, or instead of going to eat the extra time, I might as well start investing in my future. So, you know, you pretty much got me sold. I'm just, you know, the whole looking at the stock market thing and wanting my money in the window. Is that right there? Baby, that makes me mad.
No, I understand. I understand. And what I would say to that is, as you're creating that budget, because we only live once, you got to put some fun stuff in that budget, right? If you sit around and you eat nothing but lettuce all day long, you're going to eventually binge eat some bad food. So you gotta have, I remember this one guy, because I spent some time down in Florida before I moved back to Evansville. And I never forget, I had a client when I was in Banky down there, and he said, hey, if I want, you know, grandma's macaroni and cheese, and I'm trying to, you know, cut weight, I'll go have me a couple spoonfuls so I can make sure I get that taste in my mouth. So if you want to make sure your hair is nice and your nails are done and stuff like that, go, you got to treat yourself as well. I'm a firm believer in that. But when it comes to, you know, the stock market, what I will say is that realize what you're investing in is not an arbitrary savings account, right? And I think sometimes they present it that way. So it's not an arbitrary savings account. You're investing in businesses. So what I always equate it to is, like, you know, the show Shark Tank, right? So if I had a business, you know, you and I, Athena, and we didn't want to go down to the local bank and get a commercial loan to do whatever we got to do with it, we said, okay, hey, there's value in what we do. If we offer, you know, some of our business as equity to other people, then we could get value back for it in the form of cash to continue operating or do whatever we want to do with, right? So the value of our business is based off of the quality of our business, right? So, you know, if we're growing in sales or growing in products, all those types of things, then the value of our business is going to grow. When we have down years, of course, as we always do, then, you know, the value of our business is going to go down. Just realize this one trigger word that they always tell you on the news, and it's something that me and my mom talk about all the time, because I call her my worst client, but she's not. She's my one and only beautiful mother. But when you hear, oh, there's a sell-off in the market, there's a trigger word. There's a sell-off, 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 right? They say this all the time when the market is going down. What I always ask people, if it's a sell-off and a sell is a finality of a transaction, then who's buying? Right. You got to exchange something, right? Because you're not selling it back to the company, right? Unless the company is buying those stocks back. If there's a sell off, who is buying? So that means somebody is buying the value that you don't perceive right now because of the fear that's being disseminated out there. So that's what I mean, that you got to learn the parameters of the game. And it's not necessarily just about numbers. It's about the emotional feelings, because if it was just logical and about numbers, we all would have as much money as we needed. That's why it sounds so simple, but it's the emotional triggers that get us, and it's experiences of the past that get us as well, of saying, okay, well, I don't want this to happen. Or, well, so-and-so told me, hey, they had their money here and now it's gone. And they didn't really know why it went away, or those types of things. So going back to that first, you know, part of educating yourself so you can feel armed in that environment and know, hey, this is what's going on, or that's what's going on. And I can tell you the easiest way to figure out what people are doing, right, whether it be people at your job or people in your local government, your state government, or the United States government on the international stage, follow the money. You start following the money and a lot of what's going on makes complete sense. Morally, right, some of the things that we see, civically, some of the things that we see, it makes no sense at all. But you got to remember that once your needs are being met at such a high level, right, you got to think there's a difference between the way that we think and the way that an impoverished mind thinks, or a way that an addicted mind thinks. And you think, okay, how come they can't see this, right? There's also a difference in the way that the ultra wealthy think, because their needs have been met at such a high level that they don't think the same way as us, right? They think in generational terms. They think of after my life, and you know, what do I want my family legacy to be like? So they're thinking on an emotional capacity because all their needs are being met. And it's hard for us to fathom needs to be met at that high clip. So there's a big difference in how they look at it, right? And how they operate. And it's all based off the psychology of the needs that are being met. So just look at it from that standpoint. As far as trust, or don't distrust it, to me, is just like a video game, right? You got to know how to particularly play the video game to move up the levels, just like Super Mario Brother, right? And every now and then, have your little fire mushroom that you could throw at somebody to do what you need to do in your own life.
Okay. So what about those of us that are business owners that are trying to budget, but we have inconsistent income? How do we budget with that?
I know about this all too well, right? What I would say, and this is something that I personally have struggled with, because you have great months and you try to play the catch up, right? You got like, oh, I need this, I need that. And sometimes the catch up is legitimate, right? As a business owner, sometimes the catch up is, hey, I need to buy toilet paper in bulk for the office, or I need to, you know, make sure I take care of these bills, or I need to buy new equipment, or I need to buy, you know, do R&D or new product or whatever your business is. But just remember what I always do is just create a baseline. So, you know, your baseline should always be, you know, in my opinion, the year before you. The year before you. So for this year, your baseline should be based off of the 2024 numbers. Now, if the 2024 numbers were a record year, then subtract 20% from that, right? Don't take your record years into, you know, example for that baseline, but just keep that baseline, because what that's going to do is that it says, okay, hey, this is what I ran off last year. So this is going to give me the capacity to create a budget, but in turn too, this is going to be there for me to say, okay, I got to at least do this again in order to move my business forward.
Thank you. Cause yeah, we know a ton of business owners, and I feel like that's always a struggle when it's like, we don't know what's going on.
And pay yourself, right? I think a lot of times as business owners, we pay everybody else, but pay yourself, you know, create, you know, just like in that emergency fund for your own personal household, create that emergency fund for your business as well, and separate assets. Cause we're real bad about that as business owners. We, you know, sometimes we keep it all in one account and we're running, you know, the business from the same account that we're paying our own personal bills from. Separate it. The more detailed that you can get in the very beginning, the easier it is to track.
Well, that pay yourself.
I know we have such a great discussion, but Lady Jane don't kill us if we don't take a break. So, take a quick break, but yes, we're gonna dig more into that paying ourselves, because I think sometimes I pay myself too much, but that's why I'm trying to put my money someplace else, so I don't touch it as much. So, but we'll be right back to continue this in-depth discussion about money. So we'll be right back. Child, let me tell y'all something, okay? She's already stepping on my neck during this whole thing, and I don't appreciate it, because, you know, I know what I need to do, but I just suck at doing it. So, Mr. Taylor, can you please tell everybody how they can reach you real quick, because I do not want to go any further without people having all your contact information, because clearly we need you.
Absolutely.
My office number is 812-853-7344. And probably the easiest way for everybody to contact me is via email. And that's my name, Lawrence.Taylor@edwardjones.com. And that's LAWRENCE.TAYLOR at edwardjones.com.
Okay. My second question is, when are you in Indianapolis next? Because we might need to set up a workshop. It's been talking for some business owners.
Yeah.
We might need to include you in an event. I mean, September 6th, if you're not busy, you can come up here. We got a Care Summit going on. Shameless plug, but Care Summit. starts 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. But are you busy September 6th? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but.
You are. Let me look at my calendar here. I'll give you an answer right now. As it stands right now, September the 6th, I have nothing. But let me make sure I check with my sports schedule. I got three little kids. Well, not little anymore. I got a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and an 8-year-old, and they're involved in everything that they can be involved in. But send me the information, and if I can make it, I'll definitely make it. Now that they got 69 finishes, it's really only, I guess, with my driving. If no police officers are listening, it's about 2 hours with my driving. But it won't be that bad to get up there and come back that day. I would love to be. A part of that.
I will say, this is a complete tangent, but just because you brought it up, that is such a boring drive.
It is. And if you don't get gas before you get
I
on
know.
It.
I know. Oh, I went to a conference a few years back and I was talking to Athena. I was like, girl, I ain't nothing to look at.
You can fall asleep if you don't. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I just sent the information over to you. So when you get a chance, you can look at it.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it.
I mean, I definitely hope that you can come through and bless us with some more knowledge. And we can even give you a breakout session for you to discuss things in more detail. So definitely consider it. We're glad to have you, even if it doesn't work out for the city. We were glad to, you know, have you here and to have you share your knowledge with us, you know, for any time.
If that doesn't work out, I'm usually up that way. Sometimes it feels like every month, but usually at least once a quarter, I'm up there.
Okay, we can build something around that. But don't threaten me with a good time. So
I still owe you lunch if I come up there, Athena. I ain't gonna take it away.
Well, hold on, man. You can come next week. No, I'm just kidding. I know this show has been so insightful and so delightful, but we are coming up towards the end, so we can definitely. I think Renata, we should ask him a fun question.
Yes,
just to wrap up the last part, because I know we this time has flown so fast, it's crazy. But I know Renata has her set of fun questions she's always asking. She is a mental health therapist, so I will do another shameless plug. If you have any needs in the Evansville area, you need some mental health therapists to come down. Some melanated therapists, please tag us in because we do travel. Okay.
So. That's awesome.
Okay. Let's see here. Looking at my list. My favorite question, what's the last three songs you listened to?
The last three songs that I listened to, oh man. I usually listen to a lot of podcasts. So let me see what I listened to with my son on the way to our practice last night. I think it was Peekaboo with Kendrick Lamar. We listened to that. I do like that new Shaboozy song, Good News. Get a little country in there. Okay. I think I listened to that last night. And I'm pretty sure it was another Kendrick Lamar song. I'm thinking he was either. No, what's the. And I don't even know the name of it. What's the. No, not that one. I think it was Not Like Us.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, no, what's the other one where he's.
Swimming pool?
I'm
trying to think of, you know, because if he can't think of it, I'm trying to go back. So let's see.
I know what it was. We listened to Nipsey Hussle, Grinding All My Life.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I do play, you know, hip hop with my sons, I always try to make sure that it's about something that's moving forward, really. So, yeah, that's what we listened to last night at going to practice.
I can appreciate. So I like that question because you never know what people are going to say.
Yeah.
And sometimes it gets a little sketchy because the last three songs of mine was sketchy.
Well, I was trying to give you the non-sketchy version. You call it, right? Sometimes, you know, when you're riding in the car on a Friday morning, you try to get it in on the way to work. I didn't play my DMX this morning. I'm from my generation.
We love that good poet DMX,
right?
Poet and you know it.
It's hilarious.
So, what is one thing that people will be surprised to know about you?
That I never really thought of myself as somebody from the country until I got a little bit older with family being from the South Side of Chicago, spending a lot of time up there. I always thought of myself as, you know, trying to be big city, but I had to realize where I'm from. So I have raised a couple of cows from calves all the way to my dinner table. So for the vegetarians out there, I apologize if I offend you. But I had some of my boys, you know, from college, because the first school I went to was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So I went to school with a lot of cats out of Knapp. So some of them, you know, they used to say I'm from Kentuckiana. That's how they describe. Lawrence is from Kentuckiana down there. So, but some of them would be surprised to realize I've raised some cows. I've did some chickens. I'm really into gardening, those types of things.
Okay. Oh, I would have never pegged you as someone to raise cows, but I don't know who I think of when I think of people who raise cows either. So.
Okay. I mean, you have a gift there. You can deal with cows and chickens. as has ever been my gift. I worked on a farm for a stint at a time, and them chickens, they was getting ready to get their next rain real quick. Even though they were supposed to be doing something else, because they was real feisty. So God bless you for that. I know who to call if we get an apocalypse or something. I'll be right down there in Evansville with them.
Hey, I got a compound. The more people we can get, right? I know how to do carpentry work and everything. We can build structures. I've learned a lot. I remember my dad used to tell me, he said, Lawrence, you got to make a lot of money because you're going to have to hire people to tell you how to do these things. But over the course of my life, I've had some other good men show me how to do a lot of different things, which has been awesome.
That's beautiful, because everybody cannot say that.
Yeah.
Well, if you need some therapists, you got that. She's a great networker. She's great at just building platforms. So we got people. We can have a great community in Evansville if we had to.
It's all therapists. She likes to make hair products, skin products, all natural. She grows stuff. And she's a massage therapist, and she's getting certified in other things. So, listen, don't open the invitation and think we ain't going to just no.
Hey, y'all help me grow my hair back, though. That's what I was
saying. I mean, she...
I would love to grow a nice head of locks. Let me grow my hair back.
For those who know, I suffer with a form of alopecia that's real goofy. So, she's working with me now to see if we can get mine back. So I, if it works, I'll be calling you. Say, okay.
Then let me know.
I hate to cut it short. So we probably going to have to do round two because, the signal is signaling. So we're going to have to cut this short. So as usual, we have a good time. We got to do a part two. But one more time before we leave, please, please, please plug your information.
Absolutely. So again, my name is Lawrence Taylor. My office number is 812-853-7344. And my email address is lawrence.taylor@edwardjones.com. lawrence.taylor@edwardjones.com.
Thank you so much for blessing us with all this knowledge. You was all in me in the thing is business, and you didn't even know.
Yeah, I appreciate it, but I don't like you right now.
I had a great time, ladies. I appreciate you having me on. This has been a blessing to my Friday. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Trust me, we're gonna have you on again. So don't you worry. And again, what we have coming up, I know I got 30 seconds, but Empowered Living, and along with Legacy Home Solutions, we're putting on what's called the Care Summit. Will take place on Saturday, September the 6th, from 10 to 2 p.m. If you would like more information, please contact me at 317-969-5654, or if you go on Linktree, just go to Linktree and search The Care Summit, and you'll see all the information pertaining to The Care Summit, and we are adding stuff every day, so you will be blessed and surprised at all these free resources we bring to one place. So, did I forget anything real quick? I know we got to go over that, but anything I forget?
No, just go to Empower Living if you need more information. So
yes, please. And thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Have a great Labor Day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.